Right. Would you like to identify yourself, please?
Hi, I'm James Nyhouse, and I am the director of photography for the Hubble 3D film and Mission to Mir.
Thanks for joining us on the space shuttle.
Shooting film on the space shuttle. It's a lot of fun. I train the astronauts, actually, to do the filming in space, and they have a lot of fun with an IMAX camera up there that weighs about 90 pounds, and when they start it up, it makes a lot of noise and gets everybody's attention, even on the ground, but they have a good time shooting it. They pick up how to shoot IMAX in space really quick. They're astronauts. They learn how to do things real good and real fast, so it's fun working with them.
Now, you worked on the Shuttle Mir IMAX film.
Yes.
NASA is being very cooperative to IMAX. What about the Russians?
The Russians were very cooperative, as long as we had some money. but it wasn't a lot of money. They, you know, you got to pay for what you do with the film crew. So the Russians were very cooperative. I got to fly in their zero-G airplane and got to do some of the simulations and got to go in mission control, got to go to Baikonur, shoot some launches. So it was, all in all, I mean, shooting their launches is amazing because they let you get right up next to the rocket if you want to be there, unlike here at Kennedy where you can't get within 3 miles of it. And then in Baikonur, you have to be careful you don't get hit by the flying debris.
Yes, there's that wonderful shot in Space Station 3D in which a piece of debris hits the camera.
Well, I tell you, when I got back out to the launch pad after that was the first piece of the International Space Station that was launched on a Proton. I got back out to that launch pad that afternoon, and all I could see was this glass in front of my camera. And I had no idea when it broke, how it broke, if the camera was still running when it broke. So we had traveled, you know, halfway around the world to film this launch, and here's pieces of my lens laying in front of the camera. So my career flashed in front of my eyes, but fortunately it turned out well because the rock that hit the camera hit after the Proton had cleared the frame. We actually used the entire clip in the film. I've seen people take off their glasses and look at them to see if they're broken, put them back on, you know, so it worked out well.
And what can people expect in Melbourne, Australia, when the new IMAX film you've worked on, the Hubble 3D?
Well, Hubble 3D is going to take the audience to really the end of the universe, nearly. I mean, we're looking at galaxies back 10 billion light years away. So that light's been traveling to us for 10 billion years. So we're looking back close to the Big Bang. We're going to travel through the Orion Nebula in three dimensions. This is real space travel. This isn't anything that's made up. This is all real data in three-dimensional space. The only thing that's made up is the speed we're traveling. We'll be traveling at trillions of miles per second.
Many, many times the speed of light.
Many, 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 many times warp 10. it's a beautiful journey. It's amazing what the Hubble has done, what it sees. We also have some very, very nice launch sequences of the STS-125 launch last May from positions that we've not seen before. The astronauts love the launch sequence. They say it's the next best thing to being there, and sometimes they like it better because it's got better music. But, you know.
When let's talk about that Orion sequence. The pictures are real, but you have added the three-dimensional element to it. How did you do that?
Okay, the astronomers, Frank Summers and his group at the Hubble Space Telescope Institute in Baltimore, they have all the three-dimensional data for that. They know how many light years away all these bits and pieces are within the shot. Plus, we know what it looks like from the photos that Hubble has brought back. So we were able to take all that and convert it into XYZ coordinates and actually create 3D space within the computer and then animate our flight through it using the National Supercomputer Center in Urbana, Illinois. Donna Cox and her team did an incredible fly-through using a system they call Verter, Virtual Director, where you can fly right through all this animation in near real time and adjusted our flight paths. So it's, you know, it's real space.
It must take an enormous amount of computer rendering to on this huge IMAX screen to cope with that.
Well, I haven't heard the exact time. I know that all that the Orion sequence rendered during the entire time they were off for Christmas vacation this year, and this is on a supercomputer. So yeah, it takes. There's a few bits going through there.
The film covers at least three missions. You've obviously been working on this for quite a while. Did you have an overall objective when you started, or did you sort of look back and say, well, we've already got these shots, we can put them in the film?
Well, the driver for this film was the data that Hubble has been sending back. There's just tons and tons of data of galaxies and nebula and stars and globular clusters and just really interesting things out there that we knew we could animate into 3D. We also knew that we had IMAX film from STS-31, which was the initial launch of the telescope. We had film from STS-61, which was the first Hubble, first repair mission to Hubble. So we knew if we could fly on this final mission, get some 3D of the repair, we could bring the whole story together and have a vehicle for showing all this incredible data that Hubble has been bringing back.
You had some shots during the launch inside the cockpit. Now, obviously you didn't have an IMAX camera running then. How did you do those shots?
We have, we're on this flight, we've used a lot of media on this one. We've used small cameras that were on the external tank, looking at the external tank during launch. We had one that was in the cockpit looking back at the astronauts prepping for launch. We also used HD video, a Canon XHG1, to shoot inside the cockpit to get interviews, which is something we've never had with IMAX before. If you turn an IMAX camera on in space, it sounds like a sewing machine on steroids. You can't shoot sound with that. So now with this smaller format, even though we'd like to have had the more high-quality images, we got the high-quality content with the interviews, gotten to know the personalities of the astronauts. So we used as many sources as we could. We used the video from the helmet cams that were on the spacewalker's helmet, so we could see when they were inside changing out the rate sensor units on the telescope, when they were out pulling all the little bits and bolts out, and something that, you know, brought the audience right there with what the astronauts were doing.
Now, on previous IMAX movies, we've seen a number of them over the years, the sound of the astronauts in space, the sounds of the shuttle and so on, and the conversations have to be dubbed in. The Hubble film was different. Why was that?
Well, we had this Canon HD video, the G1, and we were able to shoot video and audio at the same time, which is something we couldn't do with IMAX, because IMAX, it sounds like a bloody sewing machine that's grown wild. I mean, it's just crazy loud. So you can't really record sound while you're running an IMAX camera, especially not inside a space shuttle. So in the past, we'd have to pick up the lines, we'd record wild track, wild audio here and there, we'd run the tape recorder while we were filming just to know what they were saying, but then we'd have to recreate it later. With this, I mean, Mike Massimino took this thing and turned it into the Mike Show live from space, and it was just incredible what we were able to get from that. From, you know, Drew making his taco to Ray J telling us how you go to the bathroom in space. So there's things we never would have gotten with IMAX, because one, we wouldn't have had the film, and two, the camera was just too loud to shoot that kind of audio.
When I was talking to Tony Myers about Space Station 3D, she had a lot of funny stories to tell about the making of it. I guess you must have a store of those as well.
Most of my funny stories aren't for broadcast. you know, it's always interesting with the astronauts, because you know, when they come back, they loosen up, they tell you things they wouldn't tell you before. Apparently, what happened on this flight, there was an engine sensor that went off a half a second after SRB ignition, after the solid rockets launched or ignited. The sensor went off, and it said, basically, you're going to lose a main engine. And so they knew it was a transducer, so they pushed the reset. Now, it goes off again a few seconds later, push the reset. You know, Houston's got it under control. Everybody's got it under control, except for the guys down on the mid-deck. All they're hearing is master alarms going off, things going like this, and one of the veteran astronauts points to the return to launch site abort card, and you know, and the two rookies are both looking at it, one of which told me, I won't say his name, said, at that point I started screaming like a little girl. So I hope he forgives me if he ever hears this. That's why I'm not mentioning any names.
Well, thank you for joining us on the space show.
My pleasure. Anytime.